Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Proverbs, chapter 1. And while you're turning, let me introduce. We're going to kind of do a series within a series for the next 5 or 6 weeks or so. We did a 2-week series on characteristics of wise people. That was about 9 or 10 points long. Folks, I have 42 points in this outline. Normally, I come to the pulpit with about 4 pages of outline. I have 24 pages of outline. We're not getting through it all tonight. Don't worry. It's probably going to take us 5 or 6 weeks. We're not going to hurry it. We're not going to belabor it. It's not going to be laborious. It's not going to be redundant. I promise you, this will enrich your life. And if you'll look at me for just a moment here, and I'll remake this statement in a little while here, but when we go soul winning, and by the way, I'm not one of these people that studies bad doctrine to show you what's wrong with it. Amen. I just study right doctrine. But when you go soul winning, you have to take someone that's lost and show them they're lost. Right. You have to show them Jesus after they realize they need him. God uses much the same, and I'll use the word principle, in wisdom. He shows us what a wise man is, but he also shows us what unwise people are. And one is to show us what we should be, the other is to show us what not to be and who not to be around. And that's where we're headed with this. So, Proverbs chapter 1, we're going to start reading in verse 22, and we're going to read through the end of this chapter. I'm going to read quickly, so you listen quickly. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, shall be quiet from fear of evil. Now, look back at me, if you will. Keep your Bibles open. We are going to use them tonight. Wisdom is so needed in our society today. We live in such a foolish world. Wisdom, as we have said often, is viewing life from God's point of view. Seeing life as God sees it. I've said this, and I'll repeat it. The Christian life gets easier the more you look at it through God's eyes and the less you look at it through your eyes. Separation makes more sense when you look at it through God's eyes than it does your eyes. Soul winning makes more sense when you see it from God's point of view than man's point of view. New Testament church makes sense when you look at it from God's point of view, not man's point of view. By the way, that's why we're getting into these churches that have all this modernism to them, because they want to put man's point of view, not God's. Yep. Now, wisdom is not a commodity that once you have it, it's there for life. Right. I'll use a statement here or an illustration. It's probably not the best, but it will make my point. You'll go buy a stove for your kitchen, and you won't think about it again for probably 15 or 20 years. Wisdom's not that way. Wisdom isn't, I got it today, and I don't need to worry about it for about another 10, 15 years, Brother Gus. I'll have to wait till it wears out. No, wisdom doesn't happen that way. Wisdom is like water. You got to keep getting it. As you use it, you need more. And as you use it, you need more. And as you use it, you need more. By the way, wisdom can be chased away. You can chase it away from yourself. Let me use 2 Bible illustrations. There is nobody in Scripture that it is said more about that the power of God was upon him than the man Samson. And yet, he hung out with prostitutes ended up being ruined by a female named Delilah. What happened to all that power? What happened to all that wisdom? He chased it away. Though he had it, he lost it. Another man, Solomon. The Bible says no one before or since has had more wisdom than Solomon. By the way, if you go to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, I think it's 4, it may be 5 times, it is the only place in the Bible where God uses the word preacher with a capital P in reference to a person, and that is Solomon. God's pet name for Solomon was preacher. Just so you know, say, how in the world? Solomon chased after strange gods. He had 700 women, 700 wives, and 300 concubines. That shows lack of wisdom for sure. Can you imagine 1,000 mother-in-laws? Brother Gus, he wasn't real smart. Now, wait a minute. He chased what wisdom away. He did not always use the wisdom available to him. Okay? Now, God gives us, and I mean this, at least 5 times as many principles about unwise people as he does wise people. We will go through just the book of Proverbs alone on this, and I will show you 5-1 wise versus unwise. You say, why is that? Well, it's consistent because God knows how unwise we are and how prone to becoming unwise we are. And that warning, there's a lot more in the Bible about sin than there is heaven. Say, why? Heaven's out there, we know. But we're not dealing with heaven right now. We're dealing with earth. We're dealing with our sinful life. And God knows that, so he's got to keep that before us a little bit more. Now, let me show you what I mean. Wisdom keeps you from doing wrong, sinful, evil things. Look how many times in your life you've done something you thought you would never do that was wrong. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Oh, I can't believe I did that. There's no way I did that. You've caught yourself doing wrong things. And I'm not going to go into what those things may even be. But you've caught yourself. You say, what was that? You knew better. You knew you weren't going to do it. You did it. And you said, why did I do that? Or in many cases, why did I do that again and again and again? You say, why? Lack of wisdom. Now, God wants you to know what makes you unwise, as well as warning you who unwise people are so that you don't hang around unwise people. Now, listen to me carefully. The whole study hinges on this. In the Bible, you won't see the term unwise. That was the air conditioner. Praise the Lord. In the Bible, the term unwise is it's a general term that I am going to use. You'll see the word fool. You'll see the word wicked. You'll see the word evil. And all of those are associated with lack of wisdom. They are unwise people. So when you read in Proverbs, you'll see something about the fool. You'll see something about the evil man. You'll see something about the wicked man or the wicked woman. All of those are unwise people. Now, I realize there's a difference between foolishness and evil, and evil and wickedness. But all three of those fall in the category of unwise. So that's why we're calling this study characteristics of unwise people. Now, take your Bible, and I want you to look at verse number 22. We were just there. Proverbs chapter 1, look at verse number 22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Ooh. Fools hate knowledge. Skip down to verse 29. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of God. Fear of the Lord. Point number one, unwise people hate knowledge. Now, these are not people that are against education. When you read that term, they hate knowledge. We think these are people that are against education. That is not what that means. The word knowledge there means truth. They are unwise because they hate the truth. It's not that they hate facts. They hate the truth. Now, listen to me very carefully here. There are people who fight and even hate the truth. Now, some of you might get mad at me for this, and that's okay. When we're done, you'll find out I was right. There are people who teach what they want you to know is truth and tell you that it's truth, even though it's not truth. Right. Happens in our public schools every day with something called evolution. Right. Evolution is not truth. But they teach it as truth. And if you believe the truth of creation, then you're wrong. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, those are people that hate knowledge. The United States Press Corps hates truth. They do not report truth. They report what you want. They want you to believe is the truth. You say, how much of the press do you believe? I just told you. Generally, the date. But they don't even get that right sometimes. let me show you what I mean. The global warming people. I just read a report today where a bunch of British scientists are finally coming forward and calling. I thought this was funny. It says global warming's a bunch of hot air. I thought it was funny. Sorry, it caught my eye. And they're showing how all of this stuff has been falsified over the last 20 and 30 years. Folks, global warming is a hoax to make billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars. It's to put people into scare tactics and control people's lives unnecessarily. Now, they'll tell you there's too much carbon emission. And there's too much CO2 being released into our atmosphere. If that's the case, this earth would be overrun with plant life because plants thrive on CO2. Just so you know. It is the biggest hoax. I think it's funny they sent a bunch of scientists to the South Pole this winter, which was summertime down there. The poles are opposite. What's winter up here is summer down there. They didn't make it to where they were going. They got stuck in the ice. They sent two icebreakers after them that got stuck in the ice, and it was summertime. They were trying to prove global warming true. Three ships got stuck in the ice in the summertime. What's that tell you? Now, they're not reporting everything the way it really is happening. They want you to believe something that is not true. These are people that hate knowledge. They're unwise people. By the way, they are people who are unjust. They do not like justice. Listen to this statement. They don't look at the credibility of what they call factual. I probably shouldn't say this, but just add it to the list of other things I've said that I shouldn't say. Our president showed his hate of knowledge with the Trayvon Martin case. He spoke an opinion, condemned a man, and there was no trial yet. By the way, some of you formed an opinion before all the facts were known too. How unjust were you? Everybody doing okay? Just because they think they know something, they believe that it's fact. Charles Darwin thought he knew something. Now the world accepts it as fact. By the way, had it not been for Karl Marx, the theory of evolution would have never made it off the ground. Communism and Marxism needed evolution to get rid of God to have a Marxist society. They both came out within 10 years of each other. Isn't it funny? They say the world happened with a big bang. And it happened from billions and billions and billions of years of this. They can't tell you where it all started. They just know there was a blob there that exploded. And when that blob exploded, all these plants and stars burst out of it. And there just happened to be nine of them and all their moons that rotated just right. And out of those, only one of them could sustain life. And after millions of years, it cooled down and created water, the only one that has water on it. Everybody doing okay? And they look at us and say, you believe in God. That takes faith. That's stupid. They got faith in dust. I got faith in God. They got faith in an amoeba that swam around and swam around, got tired of being alone, so it multiplied itself somehow. And then they got tired of being just with each other, so they had extra amoebas. And then those amoebas decided to come together and turn into a tadpole. It got tired of swimming, so it knocked its tail off, grew legs, and jumped up on the ground. Got tired of walking, so it climbed up in a tree, grew hair because it was getting too hot, and now it became a scientist. And they call what we believe hard to believe? Folks, I hate saying it this way. It takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does in God. It really does. So the Bible says that unwise people hate knowledge. Got to move on. Ready? Number two. Look at verse number 29 again. The Bible says, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Wow. Unwise people do not choose the fear of the Lord. I want you to notice that word, choose. Everybody's afraid of God. You've never seen maybe an atheist die. I have. I've watched them as they die screaming, I'm on fire, oh my God, I was wrong, and die. They have a fear of God, just so you know. Now, God says that, turn back, same chapter, verse number 7, Proverbs chapter 1, look at verse number 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of, what's the next word? But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, turn to Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Wow. God says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Later in the book of Proverbs, and we don't have time to go there, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So, the fear of the Lord is wisdom. Notice, an unwise person, it says, and they choose not. They did not choose the fear of the Lord. Choosing to be wise is a choice. God won't force you to be wise. It is a choice. God says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Watch this. Unwise people want to be their own authority and not let God be the authority. That's the difference. Unwise people want to be the final authority. They don't want God to have the final authority. They act for God to others. They want to be God. The government wants to be God of America. It's grown to the point where it wants to consume and tell you everything you're supposed to want and do and have, and whether it's right for you to have it or it because you have it, it's right for somebody else to have it, and if they can't have it, then you can't have it either. Everybody doing okay?
Yeah.
Okay, hang in there. These are people that say, well, let's put it into the, and I'll use this term very loosely here, let's put it into the Christian or religious world. These are those preachers that get up and say, well, it's my job to purge this for God. It's my job to clean this up for God. Well, I hate to tell you something, sweetheart, but that's God's job, not any man's job. That's not the man of God's job. His job is to preach the truth. Let God do the purging. They want their wrong to appear spiritual. When you're around unwise people in the church world, they walk around spiritually arrogant. Listen to me very carefully. They are the ones that will tell you, well, you just be careful. Brother Logue's being judged by God right now, so you be careful. Well, who made them God to tell you that? My God said my sin's already been taken care of at Calvary, and I'm not being judged for it, just so you know. You know, I have no right to tell anybody they're being judged by God. I don't. Neither does any other human being. Quit playing the Pope. Don't get me started on the Catholic Church tonight. That's coming later. The unwise people become what I call the epitome of Genesis chapter 3, verse number 5. When Satan came to Eve and said, Eve, wouldn't you like to be wise? Wouldn't you like to decide good and evil for yourself? It is a tree to make one wise. It's exactly what Satan said, is it not? Huh. Tree to be desired and to make one wise, to know good and evil. In other words, you don't need God to tell you what's right and wrong. You don't need God to tell you what's good and bad. You could decide it for yourself. And you could become, the Bible even says, Satan said, you could become as gods. Unwise people choose to be God themselves. Okay? I got to hurry here. Number 3 out of number 42. That depressed you, didn't it? Look at verse number 30. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 30. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Unwise people reject godly counsel. Now, listen to me very carefully. I do not for one moment pretend to be God. Not at all. I don't pretend to know it all. Now, some people might think that. No, there's a confidence about some things that I do. But I do not know it all. But watch this. People that attack godly counsel and say that counselor is a sinner, you shouldn't listen to them, you should listen to me, be careful. Be careful. God places the man of God over the house of God for the people of God. I think it's wise to go get the bulk of your counsel from the man of God. I just believe in that. By the way, I've been believing that for an awfully long time in my life. An awfully long time. You see, well, I've been preaching this longer than some of you have been in church, trust me. Matter of fact, I've been preaching it longer than some of you have been alive. Now, unwise people don't accept reproof in godly counsel and take it as a personal attack. Listen to this statement. Don't go see the preacher. He'll nail you for that one. Uh-oh, that's an unwise person. That's an unwise person. Oh, you don't need to go see preacher for that. You already know what he's going to tell you. How do you know? How do you know? Now, if you're going to ask me if it's right to go rob a bank, the answer is, of course, as long as you tithe. I'm teasing, all right? Folks, right and wrong is pretty easy. When it's in question, go get advice. if you need help, go get advice. And if the preacher does clean your clock, just know one thing. He did it out of love, not because he hates you. Boy, if godly counsel disagrees with them, they make godly counsel to be out to be wrong. Be leery of those people that say, well, I went to go see the preacher, but I disagree with what he said, and he doesn't know what he's talking about. And I'm going to make this statement very loud and clear. I don't care if it's another preacher that says that, just so you know. Just this week, I counseled two people that in distant states, but I wouldn't talk to them until I had their pastor's permission. And both of them, I made this statement. Here's my advice. Take it back to your pastor, and if he disagrees with me, you do what he says. And I said, because if you disagree with him, then we have problems. But this is my advice. But whatever he says goes. I happen to know one of them, I probably would disagree with their pastor. And I put that in there so that they knew to follow their pastor. Everybody doing okay? Unwise people have to be right no matter what. They are the issue, not right and wrong. They'll make it out to be right and wrong, but it's not right and wrong. They are the issue. All right, let's move on. Let's go to number 4. Look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 31. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Unwise people destroy themselves and those around them. Unwise people destroy themselves and those around them. Can I tell you something? The Bible says here, for the turning of the way of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Do you know what the prosperity of fools is? More foolishness. Destruction. So a fool that prospers, that doesn't mean they're making lots of money and having everything they want. They're becoming more and more foolish. More and more destructive. And it will destroy them. Okay? Now, they want success, but they only want it their way. But they don't understand that their way leads to destruction. They criticize everybody that doesn't do it their way. Folks, we're not going to build Grace Baptist Church my way. We're going to build it God's way. Period. You know, I get weary of preachers that come up with all their new gadgets and gadgets and widgets and wadgets to go out and reach people. We got to be like the world. Let's bring in the bands. Let's have the coffee shop ministries. Let's bring in the all these other things that we'll talk about later. Let's have all the worldly things to attract the world so that we can reach more of the world. No, God said go house to house, door to door, person to person, preach the gospel and be foolish by preaching the truth. Everybody doing okay? The Bible says they turn away the simple. Look at that. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. Everybody look at me for a moment. A simple person is a person that doesn't really understand right from wrong. They haven't decided by principle what is right and what is wrong. They're not foolish because they've not personally decided to go against right. They're just not sure what right is yet. The Bible says that they will turn away the simple. Look at me. As long as there's breath in this body, this church will be a hospital for the sick, not a museum for the well. Say why? We're out to reach everybody. Everybody. We're going to bring in those that are on drugs. We're going to bring in those that are in sin. We're going to bring in those that are alcoholics. We're going to bring in some that don't even know how to take a bath every day. But guess what? We're going to get them, let God clean them up, and watch God change their life. The unwise people cater their churches to the people that can give them something back. Probably an old-fashioned term here, but I call them the preppy churches. You know, looks like you got to be from GQ magazine to walk through the door. And the moment you quit being able to give back to them, they're done with you. Bless God, bring the bus kids in. Bring the street people in. Amen? Okay, hang in there. They turn away the simple because they don't profit them. Unwise people most always self-destruct, but they always have destruction around them. Everybody look at me for a moment. Unwise people, everywhere they go, there's destruction going on. You can't put your finger on it, but something's always blowing up, falling apart. Somebody's life is a mess. Something's all whacked out. Now, in a church, we're going to have sinners. And we are going to attract people coming from that. But that doesn't mean we're creating that. Everybody understand the difference? Unwise people self-destruct. I wish you could, well, I'm glad you can't. But I wish you knew how many people's lives have been ruined by this one thing right here. People spending time with unwise people. You want to know, young people, listen to me. Your music, is it wise or unwise? Parents, why are you letting your kids listen to unwise music? They're spending time with destruction. Why do you spend time with unwise friends? They will destroy you. And by the way, some of you need to choose who you spend time with at work a little bit more wisely. And I'm not talking to young people. I'm talking to their mamas and daddies. Okay, we just went to meddling, didn't we? Let me do one or two more here and we'll quit for the night and have a business meeting. And then really have a fight. No, I'm in one of those moods tonight. I'm sorry. All right, number five. Unwise people speak froward things. Look at Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 12. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. Now, look at me. The word froward is an interesting word. It doesn't mean forward. Okay? The word froward means perverse. It means fraudulent. It means twisted, changed, or contrary. Now, the word fraud is lying about someone's character. It's probably the best way to say it. When you speak fraud, you're talking about deceitful, lying about, putting a twist on it to make someone look bad that is good or someone good that is bad. Okay? And God said, unwise people speak frowardness. Everybody look at me for a second. That person that knows what's wrong with everybody, that's an unwise person. Yes. Oh, did you know about Brother York? Let me tell you what I know. That's who I'd go to. Well, no, I'd go to Mrs. York, not him. She'd tell me the truth. But, you know, there are those people in life, they know the skinny on everybody. They've got the lowdown on everybody. They know what happens in churches before it happens in churches. It's amazing to me how many people know what's going on everywhere. Yes, sir. By the way, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. You might ought to be careful what you put on your social media about your church because it gets twisted everywhere. Say, what's the best thing to do with social media? Throw it out with the rest of the media. Now, that's the best thing. I didn't say you would do it. I just said that's the best thing. Unwise people know the wrong, the bad, and the negative about all the wise people. Recently, I talked to someone, and they knew I had worked for Brother Hiles. And they said this, well, you know, Brother Hiles showed us because of how things ended up that this wasn't good. I said, hold it, shut up. I said, how many are you running? He told me. I said, when you're running 20,000, call me back and tell me he was wrong. Until then, shut up. Yes. By the way, this is a man I respect. I lost a little right there. But I just said, hold it. I said, it's amazing you know what's wrong with it. I said, everything you're criticizing happened after he died, not what was while he was alive. I said, just shut up. When you can run, when you run 20,000 and when I'm running 20,000, let's talk about it. Boy, did that end the conversation in a hurry. Unwise people, in an effort to lift themselves up, lie, twist the truth, or speak contrary of wise people. You know what I'm talking about at work. That guy that's never run a hot dog stand knows how to run that company. It amazes me how many people that, and I'm not picking on any, let me see here. Okay. Anybody work at Taco Bell? Okay. Donnie, you got to work. I didn't say employed. Now look at me for a second. It's amazing to me that somebody that can push buttons sometimes right at the register at Taco Bell and about 2 out of 3 times get the order right, they know how to run Taco Bell better than the people that own Taco Bell. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Guy that's 16, 17, 18 years old wants to complain that he doesn't make enough money. And that guy that's sitting up there in that executive office makes too much money and he's not going to work till he can make. Well, when you start doing what he does, then you can make the big money. Until then, shut up and work. Or, as my dad told me, don't you ever complain about your wages. You're the one stupid enough that agreed to it. If you'd work harder, they'd give you a raise. Ooh, man, that didn't go over well when I was 16 years old. Guess what? He was right. Boy, that's good stuff. Unwise people have a way of twisting things around to benefit them. Turn to Proverbs chapter 6. I'm going to show you something here. Bless you. Proverbs chapter 6. We're going to read about 3 verses here. Look at verse number 12. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. Watch this. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Wow. Now, everybody listen to me very carefully. I'll finish it up and we're going to go into a business meeting here shortly. The Bible says that an unwise person has fraud in their heart. Now, listen to this. It says, he winketh with his eyes, speaketh with his feet, he teaches with his fingers. Now watch this. Unwise people are those people at work. This is my co-employee. He doesn't work. Let's say I am an unwise person. I say, no, Brother Matt, you know that Gus. He's going to come in here and he's going to do this. Now you wait and see. And that's not the right way to do it. You just wait till he gets here. Sure enough, Brother Gus comes up. He's telling Matt how to do something. Here's the froward man. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's an unwise person. Here's how generally the unwise person works his magic. Go over here and talk. How about we have coffee together? Let's eat lunch together today. You'd be leery of those people that are always pulling coworkers aside to eat lunch with them. Be leery of these guys pulling you aside, and all they want to do is talk negative about everything going on and how much they know about it. Thank you, Brother Smith. That's what Proverbs means when he winketh with his eyes, talketh with his feet, with his fingers. Did you ever have somebody tell you something was going to be wrong or negative happen, and they're going, y'all know what I'm talking about? Uh-huh. Say, what is that? An unwise person. Is all they're doing is drawing attention to the what they think is wrong to lift themselves up. Boy, that's good stuff. By the way, they sow discord. Look at verse 14 again. Frowardness is in his heart. He deceiveth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Later in the scripture, it says they sow discord among the brethren. Now, discord is this. Boy, that sounded lovely, didn't it? Discord means it doesn't match. It doesn't come together and blend well. When there is discord, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, whether it's at school, whether it's at church, whether it's amongst friends, when there is discord, listen to me, there is somebody acting unwisely. Husbands and wives won't have discord between them if they would start acting wisely. Parents and children don't have discord as long as children and parents walk wisely. And the Bible does say that a child can learn wisdom and they can serve wisely. Now, sometimes you got to beat it into them or beat it out of them. But they can have wisdom. They sow discord or disharmony among people. Everybody look at me, and I'm done here. If you have a friend who always has trouble around them, they're always creating negative, they're always causing contention, can I tell you something? You have an unwise friend. I don't spend time with preachers like that. I don't spend time with friends like that. Now, I didn't say they're not my friend. I don't spend time with them. And what time I do have with them is A, very limited, and B, always planned. I don't let it turn negative. Now, every once in a while, one of them's going to throw a little barb at me. You say, what do? I shut it off and it's done. Say, why? I'm not going to participate in that. You need me to be wise. I need to be wise so I can lead God's people the right way. Why do I want to associate with that? I say it this way. It's one thing for somebody to throw up. That's rough. It's another thing for you to scoop it up and slurp it down. Say, that's gross. That's the way God looks at evil. Somebody's barfing out discord and you're gobbling it up. You're like a baby bird. Mama bird comes in and throws up in your mouth and you're like, oh, give me more, give me more. You say, you're gross. I may be gross, but you finally understood what unwise people are. And in God's viewpoint, negative criticism, fraud, lying, deceit, all of that is about like vomit to God. Why do you want to suck down a bucket full of barf? Why do you go back to people that is all they do is puke in your ear? Everybody doing okay? You say, well, I'd have to be by myself. I'd rather be by myself than be around a bunch of barf. Told you I was in one of those moods tonight. Sorry. Folks, unwise people. Now, I'm going to review. I'm going to make one closing statement. I'm going to make this closing statement every week as long as we're in this part of the study. Unwise people, number one, hate knowledge. Number two, they don't choose the fear of God. Number three, they reject godly counsel. Number four, they destroy themselves and those around. And number five, unwise people speak froward things. Now, listen to me very carefully. People have a corrupt view of loyalty. Now, loyalty is tied into this very closely, and I want everybody's mind for 30 to 60 seconds. People seem to stay loyal to people and institutions of the past. Evil changes people and institutions. Wickedness changes people and institutions. Some people even stay loyal to people thinking they are loyal to principle, but they're not. Principle has no face, name, or title attached. Folks, there are people that I love that I do not spend time with because evil has changed them. And by the way, those people are not the issue. Truth and right is the principle. Everybody doing okay? Okay. Yes, you can forgive everybody, but God doesn't say trust everybody. I can forgive my enemy. That doesn't mean that I'm going to trust him. Forgiveness and trust are two totally different things. They can tell me they're sorry. They can ask for forgiveness. They've got it. That doesn't mean they have my trust. Everybody doing okay? Evil changes people and places. By the way, that means your trust will change as well. Let's not be guilty. By the way, we're all guilty of being unwise. Every last one of us. You know why? Because we're all sinners. But let's not be guilty of A, being unwise too often, and B, hanging around unwise people. Every head bowed, every eye closed, we're going to be done. I long for you to want to be around wisdom. I long for you to want to be wise. I must warn you then what unwise people are. Not who, what. The who will reveal themselves.